So once again, greetings from South Africa. It's indeed an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I'd like to thank Pastor Stephen Anderson and the leadership of the church for affording me this opportunity to preach tonight. I know it's not easy to allow anyone to preach or be behind your pulpit, because sometimes preachers mess up, and then the pastor of the church needs to rectify where things went wrong. I also would like to congratulate the Faithful Word Baptist Church family for this beautiful church. God has really been good. God has really been good. So this evening I would love to preach, and I would love to start by saying is that as a man of God, I don't follow the crowd. I never follow the crowd because the crowd can be wrong. In my land of South Africa, you get a lot of, when unions and political parties, they stand together, you get a lot of Christians that stands up with them, even though they agree with homosexuality, even though they agree with pedophiles being amongst our people. People will stand up and they will say that this is my choice. We are living in a democracy and no one can tell me what to do. I'm here to say this evening, if we cannot stand for anything, we will fall for everything. So one of the most important things in life is, if you stand up for anything, don't let any wind blow you away. The title sermon, Consequences for Our Actions, Sowing Godly Seeds. So just before I go into the sermon, I had the privilege to work or to be in Sierra Leone with the late brother Kevin Rowe. What a gentleman. What a gentleman. I never knew that he and Ola, excuse me, had a thing. But I could see the love in their face, because whenever they look at each other, I could see something is happening there. And when they got married, I was so glad. And a young man that, when I saw him, he was busy with the camera. He wasn't speaking too much. And he was really an inspiration for us all. And Sister Lola, we know it's hard to hear every time about it, but be assured that you are in our prayers, and we trust God will give you strength to go on. What a wonderful missions or cruise missions he implemented, and everyone is going on the cruise. One of these days, I'm quite sure that we will have, or Brother Segura told me, these days we will most probably have a missions conference on a cruise ship. Won't that be nice? Won't that be nice? So that is idea that we need to work for, because I mean, just imagine the entire Faithful Baptist Church on a cruise ship. They won't sell any alcohol. They will go out of business. But thank God for that. So today I would love to speak on the topic. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 7 to 10, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is one thing that we need to understand. That the Bible is clear on it. There is two ways where we can sow. You can either sow good or you can sow bad. If you go to the Pentecostals, if they talk about sow, they talk about money. But here we talk about sowing for God, sowing godly things for God. And today it is very important for me to preach on this issue, because many a times Christians, people who are saved, say things and do things, And even when it comes to the man of God or to the church, they do things within the church, but they forget the consequences of them being fleshly. And I want to preach on the consequences of your actions. Sowing to the flesh leads to negative outcome, while sowing in the spirit, the result and the reward of sowing is in the spirit is everlasting life. Many of us don't realize when you try to break down someone spiritually that you are negative. When you speak badly about your pastor or a church member, you are sowing negativity. And we don't want to know this, because to us we are saved. Nothing can, no one can pluck us out of the hand of God, but we think that God is satisfied with the way that we live. I'm here to say to you today, if you don't sow spiritually, that means that eternal life, it's no guarantee for you, because you need to, many of us, we're under the impression that eternal life, it's something that I can, when I pray, and many people is not serious when it comes to everlasting life. They do a prayer and they think everything is over. But now is a time when you need to try and live righteously. Show righteously before God. Go out, do the things that you need to do for God. So I'm here to say to you that if you sow in the spirit, you have a blessed assurance of eternal life. Because if you do the things of the spirit, you will never speak negative about your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. You will always try to give the best. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know one thing for sure, that whatever we sow in life, we will definitely reap the consequences or reap what we have sown. Nowadays we live in a time where young people, children, young people don't want to take responsibility for what they are doing wrong. Our young generation is under the impression they know everything. Like I say to my children always, you may know everything on the computer and the phone, but I was born before Google. I was born before Google. Google never went through the experiences where I were to. So you need to sow in the spirit. Friends, if we sow in the flesh, this involves actions driven by sinful desires, sinful behavior, sexual immorality, idolatry, anger. This results in corruption. Then you are a corrupt Christian, because you decided that sowing in the flesh is more important than living a godly life. As children of God, although we have the blessed assurance of eternal life, because the Bible says no one can absolutely pluck it out of the hand of God, but one thing we must know for sure, that when we get saved, now is the time to grow spiritually. And who do we need? It is our brothers and sisters who attend church now to guide the new believers that comes in and show them the right way. I don't like the way pastor's preaching. You're not the pastor. Say, thank you, God. I have a man of God that can preach the truth. I don't like this. I don't like the way this one is looking at me. You see, some of us, we come to church with a lot of negativity. And that is why if we go home, we receive nothing. Sowing in the spirit, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, involves action aligned with God's will, such as living by faith, living for others, growing in virtues like love, patience, and kindness. And that is the result of eternal life. Doing good. Never give up. Even when you're in imminent danger, you don't give up. You just push forward. I love to use the word, I say push. Push meaning pray until something happens. Don't give up, because you are a child of God. You need to show your brother and sister now the ways of God, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to take accountability. Now, I don't know him. He's a silent partner. I don't like him. I don't want to go with him. You see, my late mother used to tell me that united we will stand. And if we are a divided group, and that is what the enemy has been trying in the new IFB, to divide. Divided, we are going to fall. Unfortunately, that we don't realize that while we are doing and saying things, negative things, while we are sowing in the flesh, while we are trying to break down a ministry and a church, we don't realize that this is not the will of God. The will of God is that we stand in unity as a church. When I am in South Africa, I must know someone in the US is praying for me. But the only thing that we want to do is we want to be negative. Friends, we need to know that for every action we take in life, there is consequences. I have a look at the life of David. The Bible teaches that David was a man after God's heart. But David sinned. David committed adultery. He was a murderer. He was full of deceit. After he committed adultery with Bathsheba, in order for him to cover his tracks, he tried to arrange that her husband Uriah to be killed in battle. He said, "Let me send this guy right into the front of the battle. Maybe we'll be killed." You see, so listen to me. We, as men of God, we are not perfect. We make mistakes. We need not people to judge us, but we need people to pray for us. We need a church to pray for us. But what do we want to do? We want to judge and we want to say, "No, I don't like this, I don't like that." We are not in a popularity competition when you come to church. You come to listen to the word of God. You go home stronger and a better person than you ever were before. But the problem with us nowadays is we want to come to church and we want to look the best. We want to do this. No. Brother, sister, you are here to listen to the word of God, instructed to the man of God. You need to respect the man of God. You need to respect the man of the pulpit. God has given the man of this house the authority to preach to you. This man of God, he goes, he studies the word of God. He doesn't come here and say things that he wants to say. Everything that I've listened to is always spirit-led. So if we have a look at David, adultery, murder, when he tried to arrange Bathsheba's husband's death, deceit of deception, David attempted to deceive Bathsheba's husband, omission or David neglected his duty as a king and stayed in Jerusalem instead of leading the army. And that was a sin. Abuse of authority. David abused his authority when he had a desire to sleep with Bathsheba. He abused that authority. He misused authority and he summons the woman to his palace. And there was other sin also involved. But the difference between David and a lot of other men in the Bible, David realized that he was wrong. David said, he said in He said in Psalm 51, 10 to 14, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. In other words, he says, Lord, I know I have sinned. I know I have wronged you, but create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Father, please don't cast me away from your presence. I still need to be saved. I still want to be with you. I still need to be in your presence, Lord, because it's only in your presence where there is fullness of grace. It is only in your presence, oh Lord, that I know and that I'm assured of eternal life. He says, Lord, whatever you do, don't take away your spirit. Don't take away your spirit. And then he said, after you have forgiven me, Lord, then I will go ahead and I will teach my transgressors thy ways. In other words, there was consequences for his results. He repented and he said, Lord, now I have done wrong. I know the consequences. Now, Lord, I will teach. Then I will teach the transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He says, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David, a man after God's heart, made a mistake. Sometimes, as a pastor, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. And what a lot of us don't realize is that as pastors, we walk around with a lot of hurt. You, my brother and sister, can run to Pastor Stephen and say, Pastor, this is my problem. But what happens if Pastor Stephen hurts? To who do he run? Where do he run to? He needs to pray. Sometimes we are broken and people don't see it. Another way that we need to sow, sometimes we are very, 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 very stingy when it comes to sowing God's word, refusing to God, soul winning, refusing to do the things of God, refusing to knock the door. Your family comes to visit you. You want to preach to everyone else but your own family. Why? Is it because that you're living or your life is not right in front of your own family? That's why they don't want to listen to you? You see, because when I started over and when Brother Chris and them came to visit me, the first thing that we did, we knocked the entire area where I stay to get people saved. And I could boldly walk with them because I know that my neighbors knows me as a man of God. So I'm here to say to you, friends, if you sow, and I'm not talking about money, sow with your time, sow with knocking on doors, be good at sometimes. Sometimes we say, no, we cannot help people. I'm in the business of undertaking, and I love to work with people that cannot talk back. That is no two ways about it. The only people that don't complain is dead people. They just lay. I say, thank you, God. But sometimes, or at least 3-4 times a month, even if it's it can be more, then I get that where people don't have money to bury people. And I always say to God, God, what can I do to help this family? And the other pastor who's also undertaker will say, no, but they were supposed to take care of their family, they were supposed to do that. And I say to them, no, let me help this family. And so we've buried countless people. I used to, before COVID, we fed thousands of people. We're still busy in the same field, but it's not so big because we have lost a lot of donors. But you know what? I've sowed. I went into the field when COVID was on its highest. My wife and I, we got ill and we almost died of COVID. We were in the emergency. I walked out of the emergency room or out of the hospital when they told me that they wanted to put me on a ventilator machine. I refused. I said, no, it's not going to happen. They called the police on me, but the police was too scared to come near me. And I called my friend. He has passed on. And I said to him, come fetch me. And the doctor said to me, you're going to die at home. I said, yeah, no, I've got the blessed assurance of eternal life. Let me go die with my family. And when the doctor and my wife, as I entered in my house, my wife was stretched out in the ambulance. You know what? Both of us, we survived it. And I believe this is because we are sowing into the kingdom of God. I don't say give to lazy people or to people walking around. I don't do that. I don't give to lazy people, but I say sow by giving them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. How many times have you stopped at a homeless person and give him the gospel? Many of us, we pass them because they're not on our level. And I'm here to say to you, if you sow, do not sow sparingly. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, not money. Let me say it again, not money. He shall reap also sparingly, and he which sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. Friends, that vagrant, that person at the traffic light is also a human being, and that person must also be saved. I can tell you, we talk to anyone that wants to hear the gospel. So the question that I ask, what about us who sow bad things? Always at war, always fighting, always looking for excuses, always looking for the negative things in people. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. Stop being angry at anything and everything in life. The Bible says, if you sow with iniquity, you shall reap vanity. All we want in life is to receive the good out of life. And sometimes we forget, it is a plain and simple person in the road that also needs to get saved. You see, we can have much more people getting saved, but if we just would share the gospel with them. No, they smell bad. The consequences of you not preaching the gospel to that person, if that person dies and goes to hell, you to blame. Because everyone deserves to hear the gospel, even if they don't want to. All we want to do is receive. We don't want to give. We don't want to give. We think that I have too little. I can't give this. I'm not spiritually strong enough to give. Friend, you are wrong. You can share the little that you have. The little knowledge that you have, you can share it with someone. You can tell him about, you know what? Irrespective of your circumstances, you can get saved. We have a pastor that got saved. He was Pentecostal. I gave him the gospel. Pastor Alexander, I gave him the gospel, got saved. His entire church, they became Outreach Baptist Church. You know, before he got saved, someone preached to him. He was a vagrant, pushing the trolleys. He was discharged from the army, and for some reason, he ended up in the roads. Someone preached the gospel to him. And when they preached the wrong gospel to him, someone came and preached the correct gospel. Today they are a soul-winning church. They are going out and doing soul-winning. So don't look upon someone that don't have as if they are a germ. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give. How do you give? You need to give yourself away. That is the way that we give. To those who sow in anger and iniquity, to those who walk around in anger, sow in anger and iniquity, you will definitely feel God's wrath. I don't say you're going to die, but I'm saying that simple guy, that guy that works your garden, he also needs the Lord. But we don't do it because we only want to go in areas where there's a lot of people sow into their lives. Brother Segura can testify, we're busy doing soul winning here. They're busy arm robbing a guy with a gun just right on the opposite side. We have to go ahead. When we do soul winning in Delft, you hear gangsters shoot. I just need to say, come guys, let's go. But tomorrow we're back. Because if you sow, you need to do it decently. The Bible says in Job 4:8, I say, even as I have seen thy plow of iniquity and sow weakness, reap the same. So when you talk about, say for instance, if you say something negative about your brother and sister in Christ, be prepared to sow, I mean to reap what you sow. Because that is why division comes in. Because we cannot live in love. Let there be love shared amongst us. We can't do that. We don't want to take the responsibility for things that goes wrong in our lives. I'm here to say to you, and I need to run through it. When you decide to sow, the question is, where do you sow? I'm not speaking about money, food. Where do you sow alcohol, drugs? You need to sow in your children's education. That is important. You need to wait. You don't need to wait on the government for handout. Sow in good grounds so that at the end of the day, when your child is a grown up, he will respect you. Matthew 13:24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed a good seed. I'm here to say to you, whatever you do, sow what is good. Sow what is good. I cannot tell you how many times I gave my last away. But not one time I went to bed without food. I cannot say how many times I sowed into people's life who was going to get separated or get divorced. Speak to people. Those people, they got saved. I have a couple in church, and I'm so proud of that couple. You know, they had such a tough time with one another, and they went to the divorce court, and they wanted to get divorced. Both of them were in church. I spoke to the wife because the wife is a soul winner. I spoke to the wife and I said to the wife, no man. And she says to me, Pastor, in Afrikaans, ek kan nie meer nie. In other words, I can't do it anymore. I'm done, Pastor, I'm done. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for this couple. The following day, they took a bus, both of them in the same bus. And they went to sit for breakfast. And I prayed at home and I said, Lord, please don't allow this thing to happen. And they sent me a picture of them walking to court, hand in hand, walking to court. They never reached the court. They never were divorced and they're still in church. You see, you are sowing in good ground. I'm here to say to you, the Bible says in Galatians 6, that he said, for he that soweth in the flesh, in other words, if you are fleshly, that is what you will reap. If you soweth in the spirit, That will be your reward. Doing good to people doesn't give you the assurance of eternal life. Eternal life is only through our faith. But the Bible says, God is going to reward us for what we're doing good. Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same he shall receive of the Lord. I'm here to encourage you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that do good. Do good. If I'm going to start to brag what God is doing for me, I am not a rich man. I'm not a rich man at all. But God is taking care of me, because I come into a house, there's no furniture in the house, there's nothing. The same son who died, sold everything of the mother. The mother has a pension, the mother has no money. When I walked into a house when I look into her face, she just cried. Pastor, I don't have anything to bury my son. To add it off, she had a son with another undertaker. I had to go to that undertaker and get the body from that undertaker. He wanted to be paid. I said, we don't have money. He said to me, no, you are lying. You won't do it for free. And then when I did the funeral for free, the next thing that he goes around in the industry, he says, be careful for Bogart. He's ruining our industry by doing free funerals. You can't tell me what I must do. I do what I want to do. Amen. You see, so friends, let us try to live righteously. Try to sow in good grounds. Your neighbor that is not saved, your friend at work that is not saved, you talk to everybody that you don't know about soul winning. How about speaking to those who you know? Don't they deserve to be saved? Or the question is, how are you living in front of them? So I'm here to say to you, every soul winner is winning souls for God. And the outcome, the consequences of being a soul winner is getting someone saved. Getting someone saved. Getting someone baptized. So try to live righteously. We ought to consult God in everything that we do through praise. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In Isaiah he says, and I love it. In Isaiah he says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap, Isaiah 10, 12 and 13. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. He that waiteth upon the Lord shall receive new strength. I'm here to say to you, if you sow, make sure that you sow in good grounds. Because if you sow in good grounds, the outcome is going to be mission trips, soul winning trips, all these things is going to happen because you're sowing in good ground. If you cannot go, still sow. We don't want to sow because I'm not going with, I don't need to go. You need to go with. You need to go with. Sow in good grounds and you will be blessed. Sow in bad grounds and you will suffer. Genesis 26:12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and he received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You will wonder, my Lord, I can't afford to stay in this house. How can I afford it? God will bless you. God will take care of his children. I'm about to conclude. I'm here to say to you, let's give more scripture. Oh, let me give you more scriptures to prove I was already in Isaiah. Sorry for the Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time, in other words, seed times mean sowing, and harvest time. Harvest time, getting the souls together for Christ. And cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day or night shall not cease. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We have a world that is in utter pain. We have a world that is hurting, but we are too busy fighting amongst each other. We don't fight. We don't fight the actual enemy. We fight amongst each other. Until we are unified, we will never be able to grow or sow into good grounds. My encouragement to you, and thank you to Pastor and Mrs. Anderson for the hospitality and shown to me. Really, I am amazed. But my encouragement to this church, keep on doing what is right. Don't follow the crowd. We form a clique, and then we move out, or we try to do make things difficult. Let me say this to you as I conclude. During this rough time in pastors or the ministry and that, I had people calling me and said, "Are you going to do this and do that?" I said to them, "It's none of my business. I have my own home to run. It's none of my business." You see, the problem with a lot of our people is that the ones who left this church, I can guarantee you, they were the troublemakers. They never left in unity. So let me say this to you. Let us stand united. I promise you, when I come back next year, I'm prophesying. When I come back next year, here's not going to be a place for anyone. You see, when people come into the church, they will know his unity. They will know it, and they will come back. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this opportunity to preach. Father, we know that we do wrong. We do things that's not right in your eyes. I pray, O God, that you help us, O Lord, to become sowers. Sowers of the word. Sowers, putting our seed into good grounds, O Lord, so that people may be saved. I pray that you bless Faithful Word Baptist Church, this congregation. I pray for unity, O God, amongst this congregation, O Lord. And we thank you in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.